You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode, another interview of the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera. I'm president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is americansfortruth.org. AmericansForTruth.org, and we have a part two of our interview with two impressive guys from the Chicago area, Wayne Lila and John McCartney, who actually live out what they believe and go to college students and try to educate them about the homosexual activist agenda. But before I get to the interview, I want to talk again about our upcoming Truth Academy. This is a three-day conference. It's a pretty intensive seminar on the homosexual agenda. We have some of the top pro-family experts from across the country coming to talk about all aspects of the issue. We've got the spiritual aspect. We've got Professor Rob Gagnon from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary and perhaps the world's leading expert on the Bible and homosexuality, and he shoots down a lot of that so-called queer theology, you know, the type of ridiculous accusations against Scripture, for example, that Jesus and John were gay and all this nonsense. He will be there. We have Bob Knight from the Coral Ridge Ministries. Bob is perhaps one of the leading experts in the public policy world against the homosexual agenda. We have an ex-gay, Greg Quinlan, who once was a homosexual activist and now is has left the lifestyle. And we have just a bunch of great speakers. It's Thursday, August 5th through Saturday, August 7th. At the Christian Liberty Academy, which is in Arlington Heights. So if you go to our website, AmericansForTruth.org, and you click the button on the right side, it says Truth Academy. You can learn all about that. We have scholarships for students, which we're defining pretty liberally, ages 14 to 25. Some of them may not be students, but they're still young. And frankly, we're very concerned about the brainwashing that's gone on in the culture on the homosexual issue, which is why I wanted to do an in-depth interview with our two guests, Wayne Lila and John McCartney, because these guys also are concerned about the brainwashed youth. Wayne, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
And welcome, John. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. And Wayne, you have an organization, but you only do this part-time. This is not a full-time endeavor for you.
Right.
You're a busy guy. You're conservative. You care about a lot of issues, but you obviously have seen the nonsense that masquerades as a political argument on the other side.
You have lots and lots of it.
You have a group called Heterosexuals Organized for a Moral Environment, or HOME, and the website is home60515.com. That's home60515.com. John, you joined Wayne in doing this work of going out to some of the local, mostly community colleges, or all colleges in
University of Chicago, DePaul, Northeastern Illinois University,
Northwestern, Loyola.
Okay, so not just community colleges.
No,
colleges and universities in the Chicago area, and these guys have done something which is just so rare in our movement. They've gone out there with ideas, and you know, we're always talking about ideas, but it seems that so rarely do we actually defend them, especially in a very area where you've got a lot of disagreement. Wayne, you go to these college campuses, and you don't get too much of a sane argument on the other side.
No,
correct?
No. What we mostly get is people trying to find faults with our arguments, as if finding faults in our arguments proves them correct.
Right.
And there's no, you know, there's no correlation between the two. We could be wrong and they could be wrong.
Right.
But they have really never had to defend their lifestyle with logical arguments. They've just grown up assuming it was an appropriate moral lifestyle. And we come on campus and we question that, and they have nothing really with which to argue with.
Right.
So they call us names and they try to find fault in our arguments.
Well, what is the essence of your, when you pass out literature, for example, what is the essence of your message to the students?
The short version is this, Peter. We have four basic arguments against the homosexual lifestyle. One is based on health or diseases. Another is based on the financial costs of the diseases associated with homosexuality. And then another argument is based on whether homosexuality is a psychological disorder or not. And then the last one is just a pure argument regarding morality, whether it's a moral lifestyle and why.
Okay, so let's click through those.
All right.
Start with health and diseases.
The male homosexual lifestyle, the average lifespan of a male homosexual is even nowadays, even with the anti-AIDS drugs, at least 10 years shorter than normal. It used to actually be shorter than the lifespan of a smoker, but that was before the invention of these anti-AIDS drugs. The AIDS drugs are prolonging their lives a good, I'd say on average, about 15 years, but it's costing us a lot of money.
And that's something that is rarely discussed, is the cost of the whole AIDS cure. Now, let's just state it out front so we're not accused of wanting homosexuals to die. We don't want people to contract diseases.
No.
We don't want them to die. I think the more compassionate position says avoid this.
Right.
These practices,
right,
which lead to these diseases.
We have spent approximately $58 billion just on homosexual AIDS cases in this country thus far. And we have spent approximately $50 billion on heterosexual AIDS cases. So we have spent about $100 billion just on AIDS in this country. And that's basically on safe sex, because that's the most likely way to get
right.
AIDS.
Is and the whole sex. The whole liberal supposition is that anybody can get AIDS,
no,
as if it's
no.
somehow shared, John. I mean, you know.
Well, you've got 2-3% of the population, the homosexuals, excuse me, are coming up with 50% of the new HIV AIDS infections every year.
In this country.
In waves, yeah. In this country. So, that makes the case. It's got to be extremely dangerous. I mean, there are 86 million males in this country between 16 and 65, and you've got approximately 5 or 6 million contributing 50% of the new HIV infections. That amounts for homosexuals about 26,800 every year. It's coming in waves, and incidentally, I'll add to what Wayne said, the cost for antiviral drugs is $2,200 a month. Yeah. And that's coming out of Medicaid, out of the insurance companies, out of private resources. And it's phenomenal. And look at the attention smoking got. We even had the president using his bully pulpit, to discourage people from smoking. And all we're finding now in our country is encouragement of this behavior in schools,
homosexual
even
behavior.
Elementary schools.
It's quite a startling. And just the you know, just hearing you say the percentage with the, let's just say 1-3% of the population, male homosexuality, and half the new cases. And I think those numbers are probably understated, because we know, for example, that the CDC, if a man practices homosexuality, let's say a man has a girlfriend or a wife, and he practices homosexuality. Let's say he goes to a bathhouse. He contracts HIV. He comes back, has sex with his wife, and she contracts HIV. You guys correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the CDC qualify that as a heterosexual transmission of AIDS?
The second one, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the second transmission is supposedly heterosexual.
That's right.
It would not have occurred had he not engaged in homosexual behavior.
Yeah,
so
right.
The CDC is actually understating, but even let's just take the numbers as they are.
Yeah.
And yet, Wayne, it is like all conservatives, or most anyway, it must drive you nuts that despite these health risks, we see the lifestyle effectively promoted in school.
And there are teachers, philosophers, who try to defend this lifestyle. You know, I mean, we've got people like Princeton University professor Peter Singer trying to defend consent, swear to God, consensual human-animal sex. This is a Princeton University philosopher. He's being paid to teach our kids, and he is out explicitly defending consensual human-animal sex.
Well, so does Frank Kameny, one of the gay icons, Frank Kameny, you know, an octogenarian, he's celebrated all over the place now in gay activist circles. He said bestiality is okay as long as the animal doesn't mind. But let's get back to the health issue here at hand. Homosexuality. You have had many encounters with young people, let's say a college student, some high school. What's the typical response when they hear this health data, this health reasoning?
They say that heterosexuals also have AIDS, also have syphilis, also have gonorrhea, also have et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Which is true, but
yes,
I mean,
yes.
It doesn't have anything to do with... I mean,
you don't defend one wrong with another wrong. And that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They're trying to say, okay, we're wasting money on, let's say, you know, that we're wasting money or spending money on heterosexual diseases. So why not spend it on homosexual? There shouldn't be diseases to begin with.
Right. But especially what's at issue is the disproportionate rate of disease among men having sex with men. That's what we're talking about. Well, we are talking with John McCartney and Wayne Lila, two guys who go out there and actually try to educate people about the homosexual agenda on college campuses in the Chicago area. They will be at the Americans for Truth Academy coming up August 5 to 7, very shortly now. You can get information at americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. Just click the Truth Academy button on the right side. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. Our organization is opposed to the homosexual activist movement. We're talking to Wayne Lila and John McCartney, who go out in the Chicago area to students and educate them on the gay agenda. Wayne, we were talking about the health risks of homosexual behavior. I understand that you have a sign. You guys secure tables. You get permission.
Right.
You go to colleges. And this is something people might want to consider doing across the country. I guess not everybody's as brave as you guys, but hey, you get the facts, you go out there and you share the facts with kids. Tell us about the signs that you bring and educating about the health risks.
Okay, and Peter's right. We do wish more people would go on college campuses because the conservative viewpoint is just not well represented there. So we need to get there and give our side of the story.
Well, let me preface. Before you get into the health risks, Wayne, you guys had to fight your way on in some instances because you had to you've been harassed, as we described last week, and you've been resisted, and some universities have tried to keep you out, correct?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so you now, they don't try so much anymore because you've already set the precedent, correct?
Right. There are schools, private schools, like Loyola DePaul, they do keep us out. We just go to street corners nearby and talk to students that are passing by and pass out flyers, but public schools, they really can't keep us out. The private schools can and do.
Did you hear that, America? Public schools all across the United States of America cannot keep out speech that is critical of homosexuality.
Unless, there is one caveat there, unless they keep out everybody.
Right.
Once they invite somebody in, they have to, it creates an open forum and they have to.
Yeah, that's called viewpoint discrimination. If they're going to say that John McCartney and Wayne Lila can't come, but the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force can. Okay, now let's go to the health thing. You have a sign that you bring to some of your encounters. What does it say about the health risks?
We talk about the high homosexual anal cancer rate. It depending on what study you're looking at, it's anywhere from, say, 25 to 50 times normal. We talk about the high lesbian breast cancer rate. And some of this stuff you can actually find on homosexual websites. They're aware of some of these diseases. What's the one I gave you last week?
The Gay and Lesbian Medical Association,
Yeah, the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association. They have two documents on their website. One is Top 10 Things Gay Men Should Discuss with Their Healthcare Provider, and the other one is Top 10 Things Lesbians Should Discuss with Their Healthcare Provider. And they talk about the high lesbian breast cancer rate, and they talk about that there are indications of high cervical and ovarian cancer rates for lesbians. But that's not as well established as, say, the high homosexual anal cancer rate for men. But the syphilis rate for homosexual men is high, the gonorrhea rate is high, the chlamydia rate is high. There's just a lot of promiscuity in the homosexual community, and because of that, there's just a whole slew of diseases floating around our population. And they are actually banned from giving blood. Because of all the male homosexuals. I don't know about lesbians.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's interesting that a lot of people are not aware of. A woman cannot give blood if she had sex with a man who had sex with a man, I believe, in the last, I'm not sure what, 20 years or something.
Something like that.
So the woman, if she has had an encounter with a guy who was a practicing homosexual, she cannot give blood. So there's obviously a strong risk factor here, and I just find it so intellectually dishonest that our kids are being told, for example, on HIV, that anybody can. The kids are just that you just relayed, Wayne. They're relaying the same thing that the teachers are saying, which is we can't do anything which suggests that there's any extra risk, John. There's any extra risk to homosexuality, and you just showed me an article from the Chicago gay newspaper, the Windy City Times, where the AIDS activists basically admitted that there's extra risks.
44 to 88% greater risk for that particular subgroup than for other groups. He compared it in testimony. This was testimony to get money from the state, and apparently he was being honest. And that's 44 to 88% greater risk.
Now, this was the AIDS Action,
the AIDS Foundation.
AIDS, yeah. So when it's time to get money from the state, then they own up to the fact that there are extra risks. It reminds me of the time when a homosexual activist said that HIV is a gay disease. He said that was his quote. Then when we quoted him saying that, then all of a sudden we were taking things out of context. And But the reality is, you know, as what would you, let me ask you this, Wayne, and you too, John. If you had a son and he was a teenage boy and you found out and he came to you and he said, "Dad, I'm gay," what would you tell him?
You know, we actually have a section of our website devoted to this exact question. I would, to make a long story short, I would tell my son, "I love you, but there are certain behaviors that are immoral. This is one of them." I would explain to my son why it's one of them. I would explain to my son that as long as you're living under our roof, we expect you to do the right thing, and if you choose to disobey us, if you choose to do the wrong thing, it's going to create problems in the family. It's your choice, you know, what you want to do, but there are consequences to your choice, and we would hope, based on all these reasons we've given you, that you will avoid homosexual activity. But it's a little more complicated.
Sure, the first thing I would tell him, and John, maybe you'll agree, is I would say don't practice. Yeah. I mean, the practice of homosexuality is very dangerous, especially for men.
Sure. We tell, if I'm a Catholic Christian, and if my daughter comes to me and says, I'm passionately in love with Joey, we want to move in together, I'd say, well, if you do, we can't approve of it. We've taught you that your desires, your passions are controllable. And it's your responsibility to control them. You can abuse your freedom, but don't expect approval from us. We love you, but don't expect approval from us or to approve your relationship in any way.
Right, and of course, there's that the idea of if you say you disapprove, you don't love them. Which, of course, if we applied that to children everywhere and everything children do, all parents would hate their children.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's okay. Let's move on, Wayne. You went through the health. Now talk about the financial costs aspect. And I think you guys are doing some unique work in that this is something that a lot of people in the pro-family movement don't stress enough, I would think.
Well, we don't want to make too much of it, because
it's not the essence of it. It's not the reason you do it only.
Right.
But it is a factor.
It's a factor, but there is so much disease in the heterosexual community. Everything needs to be put in perspective.
Right.
Unsafe sex is bad by everybody.
Yeah.
Heterosexual, homosexual, it doesn't matter. There happens to be a lot more of it in the male homosexual community, statistically speaking, than in the straight male community. But there's plenty. There's plenty of blame to go around.
But there's a lot of, there's a group called the FAIR Foundation, which actually shows how the spending for AIDS is vastly disproportionate to the number of people affected in the culture.
When you look at the amount of money spent on breast cancer, prostate cancer, the amount of money spent on AIDS is way out of proportion.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John, I think.
I was going to say, each of these new infections that I spoke about, from the homosexual community, 26,800 approximately every year, each infection, new infection, treated and then in hospital and hospice amounts to $600,000 a year per infection.
Not per year, for the lifetime.
For the lifetime.
For the lifetime, right.
You know, I mean, through hospice, hospital, and so forth. Now, you do the math, that's not counting the 58,000 or whatever of general new infections, which includes the homosexuals. But you start doing the math, you can see why our medical system is sagging from the weight.
Right. If it's any other thing, any other issue like smoking, you have people coming forward and saying, "Well, let's tax that behavior." In fact, smoking is a classic example.
Yes.
So, how about taxing bathhouses?
Yes.
Or how about putting financial penalties on the practice of sodomy? We know, for example, in Chicago, right here in Chicago, there's 24/7 bathhouses that operate. These are places that are you can not only are men who practice homosexual behavior affected, but they bring it back to women who, if the people who are on the down low or bisexual. And so, you know, why doesn't the government in this area work to shut those places down?
And why don't they look at lifestyles when charging people health care premiums?
Right.
I mean, we do that. If you're an unsafe driver, you're going to pay a higher premium. If you're living an unsafe lifestyle, why not pay a higher health care premium? Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and it's just there's no logic on the issue, because the same reasoning that's applied to, you know, now the latest thing is, of course, people who don't eat well. They want to use the tax structure or the regulation, federal and state regulation, to punish people who don't eat well. And yet, conversely, society encourages homosexual behavior.
Yes.
And the hardest thing to me is they encourage it among the young people.
That's true. If you stop and think about it, the homosexuals and lesbians have gotten organized, but actually they've actually used their political power against their own best interests. They've distorted health care policy, policy for handling contagious disease. They've broken down all the public health measures that apply to tuberculosis and other diseases. And so they're using their power actually to commit suicide. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely, because, they have made AIDS a political disease.
Right. And they're preventing society, the public health system, from controlling the diseases in the community. And there's a tremendous irony there.
And they want the right to give blood, just like everybody else, regardless of how infected their blood is.
But the amazing thing, Wayne, is that you keep looking at the headlines, and the headlines, despite, as you said, the progress of the drugs treating HIV, I mean, you still have so many headlines that point to the tremendous risk of men having sex with men.
Yes.
And yet, no amount of headlines, it seems, has any effect on this movement, which constantly says, you know, we're pushing gay rights. That's the number one priority. We're talking to Wayne Lila and John McCartney. Their organization is HOME, Heterosexuals Organized for a Moral Environment. Website is HOME 60515. That's their zip code. HOME 60515.com. They'll also be at the Americans for Truth Academy coming up August 5 to 7 in Arlington Heights. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in part two of our interview with Wayne Lila and John McCartney. These guys are brave pro-family activists that go out to local colleges in the Chicago area with information about that's critical of the homosexual activist movement. And I was just talking with John off air about the GLAAD, the organization GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and their work to censor opposing views. And one of the speakers we're going to be having at our Truth Academy, which is coming up very shortly, August 5 to 7 in Arlington Heights at the Christian Liberty Academy. You can get information on our website at AmericansForTruth.org. But we're featuring Greg Quinlan, who is ex-gay. He once considered himself homosexual, but now no longer does. And John, you were saying that the movement has been very successful at censoring opposing views, and I'm reminded of GLAAD's campaign. Recently, CNN had a news segment in which they had a gay activist and they had an ex-gay named Richard Cohen, and GLAAD did a huge letter campaign against CNN for including the ex-gay. These guys are very powerful censors.
Yes.
What's going to happen if they get the government fully behind them?
Well, I'll get to the government, but one of our flyers is headed gay activism. I'm paraphrasing, is a threat to religion, to freedom of expression and freedom of religion, because it is indeed that they. There's a manual after the ball, which I'm sure that they're following.
This is a book by two homosexual activists,
yes.
one who has since died.
Kirk and Madsen.
Has since died. What they want to do is suppress all negative information about the lifestyle, and then anyone who tries to bring in any negative information, like this fellow on the program, the CNN program, they deluge the outlet with letters. They did that with Psychology Today reported Dr. Spitzer's approving study of reorientation therapy, and he claimed that he'd never seen that kind of wrath directed at any kind of media outlet or periodical that he experienced. Hate calls, threats, just because he published data on the success of reorientation therapy.
Wayne, it's very effective. It's an intimidation tactic.
Yes, it is. In places like Canada, you could be fined several thousand dollars for doing what John and I do.
You guys would not be allowed into Canada.
No.
If they researched, if they knew anything about your work, which they probably would, especially if you announced in advance that you were going to a college in Canada.
Yeah.
And that's scary to me because it's a Western society where liberty was once one of the foundations. And we've seen Canada basically becoming a police state.
And it's right across the border.
Do you think it could happen here?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
There's a book called The Tyranny of Nice, which goes into this. I can't think of the author's name right now. He's a attorney and also a theologian. But in Canada, if I am offended by what you say about my lifestyle as a homosexual, if I am offended, I can go to the provincial tribunal and register a complaint. And when you are brought in or summoned in, you can bring an expert. You can bring a medical expert, a sociologist, a renowned sociologist, and the truth is no defense. All that counts is that a homosexual or a lesbian has been offended by your remarks.
Right.
And the Canadian Supreme Court actually said that the truth is no defense.
Well, I think actually, too, there's one guy, I think his name is Darren Lund in Canada, who's, I think that's his name, who has filed a bunch of these complaints. So he's basically a professional censor almost. He's a professional harasser of people using the state. Now, I see GLAAD's role right now. This is their private role. They are mobilizing their army of gay activists that they have, and they're a well-funded organization, to try to silence, they would say negative view, John. You said negative, but it's actually, positive, that to many people in this country, when they learn that people have left homosexuality, to them it's, hey, wow, all I heard was born gay.
Right.
Now you're telling me there's people who once considered themselves gay, who've left the lifestyle, they don't consider themselves gay. Some of these guys, there are two different categories. Some, they may have an attraction or two hanging around. Other ones are completely have no attraction. A friend of mine, Yvette Cantu Schneider, she was once a lesbian. Then she is now married and has two children. She says she has no lesbian attractions. She's left. She literally has abandoned that lifestyle. Now, Wayne, we're back on your literature that you're passing out. You guys talk about homosexuality as a disorder.
Yes.
Talk about what the APA did, the American Psychiatric Association, and the politicization of science, which led homosexuality to be declassified as a mental disorder.
Books have actually been written about how that decision was made, and it was all pressure, politics, intimidation. Meetings were disrupted. Homosexual activists would get in the faces of psychiatrists who attended these meetings and just say, hey, look, we want this declassified. And the APA decided we don't need all this hassle, and they caved in and took it off. But when you think about it, the APA's position violates their own criteria. First of all, right now, the APA considers a female mind in a male body or a male mind in a female body, that's still considered a disorder.
Although I should say that now the transgender activists are fighting that.
Yes, they are.
Trying to use the same tactics.
and the APA is probably going to eventually cave in, but right now they still consider it something it's okay to treat, something it's okay to try to fix. They used to consider, the APA used to consider for decades, a homosexual mind and a heterosexual body a disorder, a sign that something went wrong, clearly. It's obvious to me that something did go wrong. I don't know how they can decide otherwise, logically. But they're not using logic now. They're using feelings, and they just decided to cave into pressure, and they declassified it.
I mentioned that Psychology Today printed a report by Dr. Spitzer on positive report on reorientation therapy. Dr. Spitzer was the same. He was a young psychiatrist and was chosen to quarterback the removal of homosexuality from the statistical diagnostic and statistical manual. And he was under a lot of pressure from the gay activists, and all the information he was given was slanted. So he went along and quarterbacked that removal. And then 30 years later, he responds to the truth and writes this article for Psychology Today, and he's demonized. You know, they can't have it both ways.
Well, yes, and you guys, off the break too, during the break we talked about the same After the Ball book. One of the things that they do so well, the other side, is if you criticize behavior say it's a criticism against the person.
That's right. Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, to take a moment here to ask you, what do you say to the charge of, do you hate homosexuals?
No. John and I are active on this issue and other issues because we want to make the world a better place, pure and simple. We actually feel sorry for homosexuals. I would feel sorry if I knew somebody was born a pedophile. I'd feel sorry because this guy didn't choose to be born, and I'm not saying anybody is. I'm just saying if we find, say, a pedophile gene, I would feel very sorry for the person carrying that gene. He's got a burden that we don't have to carry, you know. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to say, go have sex with kids. No, obviously not. And I'm not going to say to homosexuals, even if there's a gay gene, go have sex with men. But let's face it. You look at the facts. Our bodies are structured for heterosexual male-female sex. Biology 101. If you have a mind that doesn't want that sex in a body designed for that sex, how could a logical person say nothing went wrong?
Right.
Something obviously went wrong.
I cite the example of my father, who was a chain smoker. In fact, he would get up in the middle of the night and sit on his side of his bed and smoke. And then when he found he had no cigarettes, he'd get up and drive for miles, because at that time, Kansas City, Missouri was dry. You had to drive across to Kansas to get cigarettes. And my mother and I prevailed on him to stop smoking, because it eventually was a factor in his death. We didn't do that because we hated him. We could distinguish between John J. McCartney Sr. and his behavior.
Right.
And we loved him.
And yet, this is the distinction which many young people fail to make, because it's been drummed into them,
yes,
that if you criticize homosexuality,
yes,
or now even gay marriage, the idea, this radical idea of gay marriage, then you are against people. You're against their friends. Wayne,
right,
speak to that.
Right. Well, no, you're doing a good job, Peter. That's how it is. They just think we're haters. It's reflex.
But do you succeed in breaking that down when you get out there and talk to them?
With some, yes.
Because you said they're not used to hearing rational arguments,
right,
on the other side.
It depends if they stick around and talk with us, as opposed to call names and leave.
Right.
If they stick around and talk with us, they find out we're rational people. We've done our homework. We can calmly discuss issues. And we don't call names.
Right. I suppose it's an object lesson in tolerance, too, for them, what tolerance really is.
Yes.
Because a lot of them don't come away agreeing with you,
right,
and yet they've,
right,
had a discussion with you in which two sides disagree. It's a civil discussion. That's,
yes,
what we're all about here.
That's exactly, especially on college campuses. That's,
yeah,
what they're about.
John, we got 30 seconds.
That was the achievement of Kirk and Manson in After the Ball, and they bragged about it, that they made that switch from criticizing they got it across. When you criticize homosexual behavior, you're really criticizing people, and you're hateful, and you have no compassion.
It's a destructive idea. It has made this issue so hard to debate, because so many people now believe the lie. Even good people who know the truth still think, oh, they're doing something against their gay friends or people they know who happen to be practicing the behavior. We'll be right back with Wayne Leland and John McCartney. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. We'll be back in a minute. Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. Americans for Truth is hosting its Truth Academy August 5th to 7th at the Christian Liberty Academy, which is on Euclid Avenue in Arlington Heights. It's a big school there. Our two guests here, Wayne Leland and John McCartney, will be there. You'll get a chance to meet them. We're going to hopefully let them share a little bit about how they get out and interact with kids. And I really respect that here are two guys who don't just agree with conservatives on the issue. They're actually going out and defending conservative values. And Wayne, moral arguments. This is the fourth pin of your case that you make to students. Explain your moral argument against homosexuality.
One of the points we like to make is that homosexual activity is a bad legal precedent. Homosexuals are not the only, quote, consenting adults, unquote, who are engaging in an alternative lifestyle. You have a consenting adult incestuous people. And let's say one of them is sterilized, so there's no possibility of a defective child or, you know, a deformed child. They could say, we're consenting adults, you know, like a 25-year-old daughter having sex with her 50-year-old father. They're consenting adults. They're not hurting anybody, according to, you know, they could say the same. They could use the exact same argument.
Sterilized, right.
That's right. Or exhibitionists. I mean, let's go so far as to look at, consider public sex. Let's even go so far, just to show you how absurd the arguments homosexuals use are. Let's look at a person, say, masturbating by a public playground. Now, that person, assuming that he's an adult, he or she's an adult, is not hurting anybody. They're you know, consentingly doing this. Yes, they are offending people, but there are millions of people in this country who do not want to see homosexuals kiss or hold hands in public. They're offended by that.
Right.
So you have these other sexual minorities.
And people, the objection might be, well, there's no societal acceptance for incest, Wayne. But the same could have been said about homosexuality not too long ago.
That's right.
John, I mean, boy, in the last, I would say, you could say that probably 30 years ago, maybe 20. Well, I guess the sexual revolution ushered a lot of the more, so they said they could have a minority acceptance. Now they're boasting that they have a majority acceptance. I don't think they really do yet. But the fact is, you could say the exact same thing about incest as was said about homosexuality not too long ago.
Right. You ask them, my moral case, it's behavior that's unhealthy, even dangerous in many, many cases. It's unnatural. It contradicts. I mean, you can look at the female body, the male body, and you know they're made for one another. Other parts of the body are not made for sexual activity, as you know well. And in my own personal experience, my own life, my extended family, I've seen the sadness, the ill health, and so forth that's come about by that lifestyle. And also, it's not necessarily a moral case, but when I, with my own eyes and my own mind, observe certain facts, like, you know, the success of reorientation therapy.
People ex-gays.
Yeah, yes. I don't want people to get in my face and tell me I have no right to come to that conclusion, an honest conclusion, and if I do, I'm a hater, and I eventually should be criminalized. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
I guess it's the Irish rebellious spirit that plays a big part in my joining up with Wayne.
And we are talking criminalization. We saw it with Professor Kenneth Howell at the University of Illinois, who wrote a very cogent defense of natural moral law. And he was a student complained, or I don't know if it was a student or just a friend of a student. I don't know if the friend was a student or not at University of Illinois, but he was fired. Now, apparently the university is saying now that Professor Howell still is an adjunct professor, but they took away his classes. So,
yeah.
So Wayne, you face the real possibility that you two guys could one day be arrested in the United States of America for talking critically about homosexuality.
No question.
That is a shocking statement.
Is.
It shows you how far the left has gotten. And, you know, they used to lecture us about imposing our morality. They're the ones imposing their immorality. That's what it's all about.
You know, we like to stress to students and teachers, if you know, it's using a version of the argument used by Jewish people regarding the Holocaust. You know, first they came for the Jews, or first they came for the gypsies, you know, and then they came for another group, and then mm-hmm. they came for another
sure,
group.
Sure.
If students sit back and say groups like HOME can
legally— Your group, HOME.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or like AFTA. If we can legally be censored, what's to prevent some of these same fascists coming after the students and
right.
saying, you can't say this about that, or you can't say this about that? I mean, they don't see the logical progression
right.
because liberals don't want them to see it, but
right.
there is.
Right.
There was a case in Canada, Reverend Stephen Boisson, I believe it was in Saskatchewan. He was an evangelical minister who gradually became concerned about street prostitution on the part of young males and females, but particularly homosexual prostitution. And he was talking to some of these young boys, and they were saying, well, what's wrong with it? I mean, in school, we hear that it's just another way, you know, to live your life. And he became very upset. So he wrote a letter to the Deer Path. I believe the paper was a Deer Path something.
A newspaper, yeah.
Newspaper. He wrote a letter to the editor, and some university professor claimed he was offended. He didn't know the reverend. He didn't know about his work. He didn't know his work. But he went to the tribunal, and that man was fined $5,000, and he had to pay $2,000 to the offended person. He was forbidden from dealing with issue from the pulpit, in any parish publications, in any other periodicals, on email. The roof came down on him.
Now, he was ultimately exonerated.
Ultimately,
yes.
after 6 years and thousands of dollars.
Yes, and being defamed and dragged through the mud. And what's shocking is that word offended. You know, so many people, as Wayne said, you know, they're offended at the expression of homosexual behavior in public.
Right.
They're offended at the idea that a guy holding hands with a guy should be treated as a man and a woman. I don't know anybody. I've never met somebody who's offended at a husband and wife holding hands, or even a guy and or a man and his girlfriend. Have you guys ever met a guy like that?
No.
And so you know, it's a different animal altogether. We're talking about things, behavior that's unnatural. And it's immoral.
And a bad legal precedent. I would like to ask homosexuals to be truly inclusive, start fighting for the rights of consenting adult incestuous people, add them to the rainbow. Start fighting for the rights of exhibitionist people, you know, add them to the rainbow. If it's okay for them, for homosexuals, to discriminate against incestuous people or exhibitionists, you know, how could they justify that?
Yeah, why is it okay for people not to discriminate against them?
Well, we wouldn't use the word discriminate, but yes,
right.
That's
right, exactly. Well, actually, you know, we have the word discriminate. We used to say discriminating tastes.
That's right.
And we're all, I think, every parent is certainly discriminating in how the influences they allow their children to experience. For example, I certainly will be discriminating towards the guy who wants to date my daughter.
You're darn right,
John. We're running out of time. Why don't we close up with really quickly here?
Well, I just want to say the sad thing is Kirk and Madsen have promoted this technique of getting really moral, good young people to come to the defense of this behavior.
Right. Well, you guys, this has been wonderful. The time has gone way too fast. Listeners, you can hear Wayne Lila and John McCartney at the Americans for Truth Academy August 5 to 7. That's August 5th to 7th at the Christian Liberty Academy. There's more information on our website. This is going to be one of the most informative conferences, pro-family conferences on homosexuality that's ever been held in the Midwest and probably in the United States. So go to our website at americansfortruth.org and click the Truth Academy button.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.